This is the North Georgia Life Podcast. Embrace life where you live. Welcome back to the North Georgia Life Podcast. It is Jake, your host, and if my voice sounds any different than it does in the podcast, it's because I'm a little bit older. We actually recorded this podcast in the spring of 2022 because it centers around an annual fundraiser in an absolutely beautiful part of the country, and specifically in North Georgia. There are so many hidden treasures in our North Georgia area that it's near impossible to know about or cover them all, which is part of the reason for the podcast. But this is a really, really unique one, and it's absolutely gorgeous, and it's such a good cause. We had to do it. So we have been sitting on this for literally, 10 months. And so we wanted to do it as it leads up to their annual event. And whether you're familiar with the North Georgia area or this is your first time, what a great first time to get out and explore some of the area and support a really, really good cause, which we'll talk about in the podcast. You know how to find us online: Facebook, Instagram, North Georgia Life Podcast. You can email us at northgeorgialifepodcast@gmail.com. And with that, we'll get started. Welcome to the North Georgia Life Podcast. It is a great day in the outdoors. We are at the Run Above the Clouds, which is, if you have not been up to the Sutches area, you just cancel plans for a weekend and just come up to Sutches. It will do your soul good to get out and see some beautiful sights and some fresh air. This run is a really unique run. One, it's in a beautiful area. So if you've not done a 5 or 10K in Georgia, where there's just beautiful scenery around you, you owe it to yourself to get out and do something like this. But this is a great community and goes to a really good cause, which is part of the reason we're here today. So we actually have a team in place. This is part of the volunteer team and the organizing team for the race. So we have Mark Puckett, who is the original race director from when this started years ago. We have Wynn Mott, who's the chairman of the Run Above the Cloud and a past teacher with the Woody Gap School, which we'll talk about in a little bit. We have Nancy Smith, who is the secretary for the Run Above the Clouds and the scholarship director, which is unique for a race, which is part of why we're here. And last but not least, Chris Disser, who is the race director currently. So we're going to try to make sure we don't run out of batteries with the team we have here. But Mark, let's start with you. So we're in the spring now. So right. This was not originally a spring race. So give us a little bit of your history here in the North Georgia Sutches area and kind of how you got involved with the race to begin with.
Yeah, well, thanks. It started with in conjunction with the Indian Summer Festival, which is in the fall. Mm-hmm. And we have moved it to the spring to get started off right. Originally, it started with the benefit of helping the students that graduate from the school, since it is the smallest school in the Southeast.
So when did it get moved?
It got moved, this is the first year we've actually had the physical race because of COVID, mm-hmm. and it moved 3 years ago.
Okay.
It's been difficult with the past 2 years.
Sure. Are you a Sutches native?
Not really. I moved here in 83.
Okay.
And it's been a while.
You kind of qualify.
That's, yeah.
It's a hot minute ago.
To some folks, I do. But originally, too, and it started here at the school, and it was kind of chaotic, and you ran up to Winfield Scott, mm-hmm. which is a completely different route. When I took over, we had some good organizers and creative people that came up with t-shirts every year, and we decided to move it closer where we could control it, and we had volunteers actually and managed it where that we had water, we had goodie bags, we had great t-shirts, we had advertisers. None of that was in place prior to mm-hmm. 20 years ago. Mm-hmm. So it's really evolved and has really helped a lot of folks.
Awesome. So let's transition over to Mr. Nguyen. Give us a little bit of your background and specifically kind of where the school ties into this race, because that's a really unique component of a race.
Well, I was a member of the Indian Summer Festival Committee, and that's kind of organizes the Indian Summer Festival the first weekend in October. We have great time. It's the biggest fundraiser for the school. The run started, and it had a different purpose, and that is to help the graduates, you know, succeed in their either vocational or collegiate careers. So started raising money and offering it to the graduates, just in addition to the scholarships they would receive from the schools. Mm-hmm. So this is, you know, over the top. The kids have to apply, we hold them, and make sure that their needs are met, mm-hmm. and no more. And so I put the ownership on the application. They have to come in for an interview. And I taught there at the school for over 24 years, mm-hmm. saw the need, saw the benefits, and here I am.
That's awesome. All right, let's circle around to Nancy. So Nancy, you are the secretary for the race, but also you're involved with the scholarship. So tell us about how you got here.
I am involved with the scholarship. I moved up to Sutch's full-time in 1993, so it's been a while. Mm-hmm. And I was here more often than not a year or two before that, but okay. Full-time in 93. I've been involved with the race intermittently for the last 20 years.
Okay.
I am a retired acute care nurse, and while I was still working, my involvement was not full-time. But since retirement, I've jumped in with both feet and been on the committee for 4 years.
From your perspective, how's the scholarship component benefited? How does it tie in a unique fashion? I've not heard, there may be other races that have a scholarship component to them. I'm not familiar with any, but I think it's a great idea for making an impact and having some buy-in, for lack of a better term, from the local community to support the next generation in a way that is not just a handout, but it is a needed resource to whatever phase of life they're going into. Like Nguyen said, whether it's collegiate, vocational, or what have you.
Right. Nguyen did a really good job of describing what the scholarships go for. Mm-hmm. We have a tiny little graduating class, and several years ago we decided not to only provide just scholarships for college or post-secondary education, but also for enrichment activities for the kids. And there's a real need in the community to sort of get these kids out and involved in the greater community.
Yeah.
And we're really trying to train a lot of our effort into that also right now.
So when you say a tiny graduating class, that means different things to different people.
We have a huge graduating class this year, and it's seven seniors.
Seven.
Last year it was three.
Three.
It's been two, I think, in the past.
And so the total enrollment in the Woody Gap, you were sharing with me, it's the smallest
school in the state, the smallest public school in the state,
K through 12.
Yeah.
And I think we've got 75 students now.
Yeah.
And the big senior class. And we do provide scholarships.
Yeah.
We follow the kids right on through their college career.
Yeah. In a environment where, especially the last few years, everybody has felt, you know, more isolated than they ever have been. For most of us, you take whatever scale you think isolation is, and you pare it down to a graduating class of less than a dozen every year. And magnify what that must feel like. And then having something like this, I mean, it's got to put a smile on your face to do it, but then for the families of those graduating classes to really provide a resource that is, you know, life-giving, mm-hmm. for a lot of them, and option opening.
We've got a lot of community support for the school and the kids. A lot of the organizations in the Valley provide scholarships. This is the only race. we do a lot of outreach with the kids, with the parents. In fact, we had a senior dinner last night where we were trying to get the word out and let the folks know about the enrichment activities a little bit more.
Okay.
And yeah, COVID was tough. We had 1 year where we didn't have a race. Last year it was virtual, and even with that we did okay with our sponsors. But this is the first year we've been back in person, and I think everybody's just thrilled to be back on the road.
Yes.
And interacting with everybody.
Yes. All right, Chris, so you're the current race director.
Correct.
So you probably are, you know, don't have a whole lot going on.
So yes.
How did you wind yourself into this role?
Wynn's wife sucked me in. Yes. Rose, who is our treasurer.
Okay.
She, my family, we moved up here pretty much full time. I guess about 6 years ago. And I had met Rose, and she heard I ran and did fitness and all that kind of stuff. And she's like, oh, you need to help out with our Run Above the Clouds. And so I started coming to meetings. And then in 2019 is when I was asked to become the race director. And so I think I started volunteering with the organization in 2017. And then at the, you know, after the 2018 race, going into 2019 is when I became the race director.
So let me ask you this. You're the new kid on the block. Comparative.
Mm-hmm.
From where did you move here from?
Marietta, East Marietta. Cobb.
A little bit different.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just a smidge. From going from there to here, eye-opening?
Yes. Yeah. It is.
Describe that for people who are in a more suburban, metro-ish area to coming here and seeing how this can tangibly impact a community in a positive way.
And That's why we did it, is we had bought a home up here as a second home to vacation in and that, and just loved the area so much and realized, to me, what Woody Gap, the school, has to offer as far as being a small school. And we were in great schools in East Cobb, some of the best in Georgia, but we just wanted that experience for our children, and so decided to enroll them at Woody Gap and give it a try. We started it midway through the year in January. I told the kids, hey, let's try it through May. If you love it, we'll continue this. If you don't, then we'll go back to what we were doing there. Mm-hmm. There was nothing bad, but I just felt like there could be more, something more personal. Mm-hmm. And when you know, buzz on the door to Woody Gap and the principal is the one who greets you at the door, it's pretty impressive.
Yeah.
As opposed to some of these big schools closer to Atlanta, where I was at that school for 3 years and never even once met the principal.
Yep.
You know, that kind of thing. So it has. It's been life-changing, and I think it's been a great experience for our whole family of just slowing the pace down. And, you know, if a child wants to play a sport entering high school, they don't have to have played the sport since first grade.
Mm-hmm.
To me, it's kind of how it should be,
yeah,
the way it used to be. And there's just a lot more flexibility and just a slower pace,
yeah,
too.
Yeah.
So I wanted to do whatever I could to help this community as well, because it is a special community.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
So let's talk about, for avid runners or want to be avid runners, or, you know what, I just want to go out on a 5K that's pretty and somewhere I haven't been to, and then go get lunch somewhere at a local spot that is going to put a smile on my face. Tell us a little bit about the race itself.
Yeah. So my big thing at first, when I first found out about this race and was told, I assumed, because it was up here in the mountains, I assumed it was a trail race. And that's my background. That's what I've always done, is trail races. And so I kind of was like, oh, it's in the mountains, but it's on the road, which actually is a really interesting combination. And I think it has a great little niche there, because it's, you know, you have some people who do both, do road races, do trail races, but then you have your people who only do road, only do trail. And I think this is a great way to experience a great area of the mountains without having to deal with the rugged trails.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe you want to push a stroller or bring your dog. we've got all this room. It's not your typical 5K or 10K that's in downtown or even a bigger city where you're not allowed strollers or maybe dogs aren't allowed. Obviously, we want them on a leash and that. But, you know, where there's plenty of room to spread out and enjoy the mountains and take it all in. But it's also, you can look around because you're not having to look at the ground to make sure you're on the trail and not about to trip over a log or something like that.
Yes.
So I think it works well, and I don't know if it's still true, but I believe it's the highest elevation 10K road race in Georgia.
So it's good. It's good lung capacity pusher.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Right here in actual Sutches, we're right at 3,000 feet. So yeah, that's one of the things that makes it unique.
Yeah,
for sure.
So, and this is just kind of an open question. So for somebody who may be listening, and while Woody Gap is a really unique school and situation, they have a near and dear to their heart, somewhere that they volunteer that doesn't have something like this to support the cause. Or short sidebar, but I was had a client that we just sold some land for January, I think, and didn't really need anything. She's very well off. She didn't really want anything as far as a closing gift, but I like to do something that's meaningful to my clients with, you know, their real estate business. And so I found out through a friend that she had grandkids in a local elementary school. Not an elementary school I was familiar with. Found out it was a Title I school. It was very underserved in a number of different capacities. And I reached out to the principal and I asked them, like, what's something, you know, just simple thing, like, you know, a resource. And I'm thinking a new copier, but they lease those, so I don't know. You know what she told me? Copier paper. Copier paper. In Hall County, copier paper. And no matter where people are at, and this is just, you know, greater life thing, everybody's got a something they're dealing with or a, you know, need in their life. And for somebody who has that, you know, that volunteer service heart, and we'll kind of roll into this of how would somebody go about getting something like this from where it used to be to where it is now to incorporate the community in a sponsorship element or a fundraising element that doesn't have any background, because I don't know if you had any background doing this before you got into this. So you're coming in with the heart to serve, but in somewhat of an established system, but you're taking it to new and growing and all that. From the rest of you that have been here and to where it started, where it's at now, what would you offer to somebody who just has that heart but doesn't know how, from an application standpoint, to do something like that in their greater community?
I think the biggest change we saw would be social media. So me being the youngest one in the group, I brought more of that presence. There wasn't any presence on social media at all prior to 2018. And we saw an increase in the registrations immediately. It had typically been email and then the flyer sign up, like in running stores and stuff like that. And I think it averaged for the last few years prior to that, usually about 60 to 75 runners. And after our first year with social media, it jumped up to 120 runners and then 185. So social media for sure. And I think, you know, and we've used that tool for sponsors as well, especially like last year. We did actually really well considering, I'm trying to think how many registered runners we had for our virtual race. I think we only had like 40 something, but we still had all the sponsors and we had come up with the plan to take, and I had seen something like this, but where we put out all our mile markers on the course for 2 weeks that if you wanted to come up run, and we had sponsors sponsor a mile. So their signage was out there on the mile. And then we also, you know, obviously tagged them in social media. And then this year, I kind of handled the social media for the most part. But we also then went above on that this year. Mm-hmm. So like in Instagram, we used, I was using stories to highlight and tag our sponsors, do a little blurb about them, include a photo, little information, so that they feel like they're getting something out of this as well. Mm-hmm. Because it is, I mean, it's amazing how many, it's not like we have a huge community, but we do have some incredibly generous individuals as well as businesses. And then also the support, obviously the two go hand in hand, the actual participants, mm-hmm. you know, and some of these people register just to register. They don't even do the race, but they want to support it. Mm-hmm. Those kind of things where they come and walk it, mm-hmm. like you asked earlier. Yeah, it's for any fitness level. People walk it, people run it, you know, whatever. But it is amazing the support we have of people from not just this area, but all over Georgia, who I think it is one of those refreshing things that, hey, I'll go do this race. It's the same cost as doing another race, but it's actually going to a particular right. cause. It's not just a corporation now. Right.
For people who want to do a couple 5Ks in the spring or fall or whatever, to do a 5K or a 10K or whatever, you know, the ones you've done in the past, like, what does that go to?
Right.
And if your answer is, I have no idea, it'd be worth looking into, you know, doing some things that actually benefit something tangible in the community, not just, well, I don't know, something, somewhere. Our next generation is more than something somewhere. So for the three of you, anything from a, other than the social media element?
Just for anybody that's wanting to start a charity, something to help a school, an organization, I would recommend finding, of course, a group of like-minded people who are passionate about what you do. Get your infrastructure down. Get someone like Chris, thank you very much, who is technically savvy and social media savvy. You're not going to survive without it. Mm-hmm. And learn to delegate. Incorporate the community into what you're doing. Mm-hmm. Find people to help and go from there.
When you talk about infrastructure, what components of infrastructure would you...
Really basic stuff. Just get your board down, you know, get your officers down, who's doing what. Everybody needs to be on the same page as to what their job is. And then once that is in place, you can start with those folks recruiting other folks, and it kind of has an exponential effect.
From the past runners who come up, they see how genuine everything is. Everybody works together, helps each other out. And like Chris says, the folks will just sign up just because they know the proceeds are going to, there's no question as yeah. to what this money's going to.
Yeah.
We have testimonies that are on the website from past students. If it wasn't for this, I wouldn't be here.
Right? That's awesome.
It's just, yeah, it warms the soul. In our situation, trying to get folks, even past graduates, of the school to help be on the board, or parents. Parents are a really good source for infrastructure.
They have stated very well exactly everything that's going on mm-hmm. and the way it goes on. And I could only add that as you're thinking about how does it get started is with a desire, and the desire in this community to help each other is amazing. It truly is. I know it is. You can find it in a lot of small places, mm-hmm. but to live with it right here. And in answer to one of your questions about do you really know where this stuff goes when you help out a charity or a cause, just remember this. One of the first things we did when we started it 20 years ago is we bought car tires for a person to go to school. Mm. So you can't get any more specific than
that's
that.
That's pretty practical need.
So you know where it goes.
Yeah.
And that sort of thing is still going on. So it's not just here's some money and it's up to you. We want to know where it goes and how it was spent and help you out.
So let's talk just quick logistics on the race itself and like start time, end time, you know, when people can expect to kind of be out and on with the rest of their day. This is such a pretty area that you can do the run in the morning and then have a great afternoon doing something else, seeing something else with the area, and pretty much wherever you're at in the Atlanta metro-ish area in North Georgia, you can be back home in time for dinner. So if you don't want to make a whole weekend out of it, it can be an awesome day trip. And then we'll kind of go into, I want to give you an opportunity to plug sponsors and anybody like that. And then we'll talk about some final logistics on how people sign up. So okay.
The race itself begins at 9 a.m.
Okay.
And we have our 5K and our 10K that'll start at the same time. And then we do have a 1 mile fun run dog jog, and it starts just a few minutes after that.
Okay.
So yeah, so everyone will show up here. The race actually starts just to the side of the school, just across the street, and runs past Woody Lake. And so everyone just comes in here, then they'll head over there to the start. That's where it finishes. It's an out and back. Once people get back in here, kind of to kill a little time while we get the runners back in and wait for enough runners to populate results, we have all kinds of raffle prizes that we do, or door prizes, I should say, of different donated local goods.
Awesome.
Whether it's a hand-carved wooden bowl or fresh-laid eggs. You know, so right. Just, yeah, that, you
can't
know,
get more local than
honey
that. Yeah.
And that kind of thing. So, yeah, so that's kind of how that goes as far as the logistics of the race. And then, yeah, I mean, it's a 5K and a 10K. So you've got the whole day ahead of you once that. And there's so many great things. We have talked about doing food trucks and that in the future.
Mm-hmm.
We haven't gotten there yet since this is our first year really separating from the Indian Summer Festival, because mm-hmm. we used to send everyone over there to get food.
Right.
This year, the sports club with Woody Gap was going to do a barbecue fundraiser, but they're just, I think with the cost, food costs right now,
it
wasn't going to work out, and there just wasn't, they weren't sure if there was enough interest. Mm-hmm. But we hope to, in the future, definitely partner in some way, whether it's food trucks or, you know, we would definitely love to support local. There are a couple of great places right here in Sutches to check out that are huge supporters of the school. Even for the dinner last night, it was all provided by Wildcat Barbecue, and they did a great job. So they're one of our sponsors, along with many others that we can talk about later. But yeah.
Okay. So race starts at 9, which I'm a big fan of, because mm-hmm. most races start at like 7.
Yeah.
And I
we
don't,
like to work.
I need the coffee in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
I need and with a 9 o'clock start time.
You could leave from Atlanta.
Mm-hmm. Have the sun up when you're leaving.
That was our plan.
So very, very doable. Kudos to whoever made that call. So early, like noonish, people rolling out?
They better be. Yeah. No, I'm just kidding. we did put a bit of a time cap on there,
sure.
But we put it, even if you were to walk it,
yeah.
We're not going to, you know, shoot you off the
yeah.
course or anything like that. But yes, yeah, done by noon, and you know, there's plenty of trails and waterfalls
yes.
and lakes and everything else around here to check out. We definitely encourage people to stay for the day,
yeah.
stay for the weekend, and, you know, just make a day or a weekend of it and take it all in up here. It's definitely worth the time.
So you mentioned one of your sponsors. Given that the sponsors are the ones that really are the community support element and the fundraising element, we would be remiss if we didn't allow a little bit of airtime to run through the sponsor list. In full disclosure, this is being recorded for the 2022 race. So we'll be airing this episode in the early part of 2023 to give hopefully it's a little bit more traction for the next year's race. So if your name is not mentioned, please don't get mad at Chris. It wasn't her fault. Time Machine would be helpful right now. But so Nancy, you want to give us a rundown on the current year sponsors?
Well, I'm looking at the current year. Looks like we've got about 50 plus maybe this year. We have a lot of individuals within the Valley that
okay.
donate in there. Have been faithful and loyal doing that, and if I were to mention somebody else would be left out of that, so I'm not going to name individuals, but some
don't want to be
named. Some don't want to be named.
Some might not want
we
their,
do have
their
some
names.
Some good business sponsors, corporate sponsors
okay.
in the towns adjacent to Sutches, and that would be Blairsville to our north and Dahlonega to our south. Off the top of my head, there's Budget Propane in Sutches. Mountain Property Limited is also such as real estate
okay.
endeavor. Wildcat Barbecue, Chris mentioned them. They catered the senior dinner. Oh, Logan Turnpike Mill. We've got a new one this year, Nimble Wheels Bicycles in Dahlonega. Motorsports Plus and Byers Well Drilling in Blairsville. We've just got too many to mention right now. But
okay.
But without these sponsors, we certainly would not be able to provide the amount of assistance we do.
As far as if someone who has never done a race before mm-hmm. and they're interested in a race, I can't say enough good things about runsignup.com.
Okay.
They are an amazing website, team, whatever. We also took this online from paper registrations and spreadsheets. When I first joined, I was like, guys, there's got to be an easier way to do this. Let's do online registration. Before it was paper mail-in registrations, mm-hmm. even in 2018. So yeah, or I think phone it in. I don't know, on a phone tree or something. But yeah, so Run Sign Up is a great resource. They're happy to help with especially nonprofits. Mm-hmm. You can call them anytime, email them. There's just all kinds of questions and answers on their website. And I mean, the whole thing is pretty seamless on there. Once you kind of go through it, it really makes it easy as far as, you know, and then, yeah, we've done QR codes on our flyers that we put up in the different local businesses and that kind of thing that people can just scan that rather than mm-hmm. We went away from the whole like paper form to fill it out in mm-hmm. a running store. But I mean, obviously we want to put it in places where we know people who are active are going to be and see, you know, the flyers and that kind of thing. So yeah, definitely is the way to go with that kind of thing, or that's what we've kind of figured out.
All right, so before we wrap up, the lightning round question for today, and this is an all play, everybody gets to answer. So from your earliest memory of watching a movie to when you graduated high school, so let's say when you were 18, best movie you watched and why?
To Kill a Mockingbird.
Okay.
For obvious reasons. Yeah. It's a classic.
It's a classic, definitely.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Why?
And I think I identified with being from the South, mm-hmm. daughter of the South that I am. I identified with some of the characters, Scout in particular.
Okay.
And I always wanted Atticus Finch for a father.
Mm-hmm. Who's next? Okay. Chris?
All right, so what comes to mind is Dirty Dancing.
Atta girl.
That's a teenage classic, but yeah, I mean, come on, there's dancing, there's great music, there's controversy, you know, no one puts baby in a corner, Patrick Swayze. I mean, I don't know, that's just what that, yeah, I think I had that soundtrack on tape. In high school, probably. Yep.
I don't know the name, but I do have an image, and that's everybody having the cone head. And I think it's named Conehead. Dan Aykroyd.
Yes,
was in it.
Coneheads.
Al, that was great.
Yes,
it's just the beginning of my consciousness of we got to include everybody, mm-hmm. and the Coneheads work just exemplified that. It's so hilarious.
Yes,
and it's such a hilarious topic. Why we can't get along.
So. Yeah, yeah. And for the younger generation, if you've not seen a Dan Aykroyd movie, you just need to go just delete apps on your phone and go watch a Dan Aykroyd movie. You'll be better for it.
Well, we're going to go back. 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea was a big thing.
Oh my gosh.
Me.
Out of the archives.
It is. And it was because of all this underwater stuff.
Uh-huh.
And as a little boy, that's just fascinated me.
So for me, the and I don't even know, this was just one of the earliest movies I remember watching numerous times. This is dating myself a little bit. We would rent the VHS tape from the local library, which cost us nothing. So we would rent a movie for free, and it was Swiss Family Robinson. Do you remember that old movie?
Yes. My kids actually love that one.
Yeah, I'm like, this is what I want to do when I grow up. I want to get shipwrecked on an island. I want to live in a tree. I want to fight pirates. I want to blow stuff up. Can we do this?
Yep.
How do people sign up for the race? When does registration start for the coming year's race or the upcoming race? And just any practical elements of how they find you on social media, online, race website, any of that.
All right. So once again, runsignup.com is the way to go. You can then just plug in Run Above the Clouds, okay, and we'll pop up. You can even just Google Run Above the Clouds.
Perfect.
And our website comes up, and it'll link you to the sign up on runsignup.com. We are on Instagram at Run Above the Clouds and on Facebook as well. So, yeah, any of those avenues will get you to where you need to be. And registration for 2023 will probably open in the fall.
Okay.
As far as signing up for that goes. And obviously, the earlier you sign up, the cheaper it's going to be. Mm-hmm. So if you really want to help us raise money, just wait till a week before and you'll pay more.
Awesome.
But yes. Mm-hmm.
And you have really cool t-shirts, which is
a
big plus for people who like to run.
And this proud mama is going to say that her daughter designed them.
Really?
So, yes. Uh-huh.
Well done.
So yes. And she is a graduating senior this year.
Awesome.
So
that's,
yes.
Wow. So nice little bow on the whole thing.
Yep. There we go.
Awesome. Well, guys, thanks for your time. I know it is the day before the race, so y'all need to go do something and maybe take a nap. I don't know. thanks so much for your time, and this is awesome.
This is the North Georgia Life Podcast. Embrace life where you live.